This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
This recording is being carried out on behalf of the International Bomber Command Centre. The interviewer is Peter Jones. The interviewee is Jim Wright. The interview is being carried out in Mr. Wright's home in Corby, and the date is the 21st of May, 2015. Jim, can you tell me something about your early life?
Born Upton Park, West Ham, on 11th of December 1932, and we lived in two places. The last was 97 Upton Park Road, which unfortunately is not there anymore, because it got thumped by Adolf Hitler during the war. Raised with my mother, by my mother and my father, my mother Marion, my father Arthur, and dad was a builder, plasterer, carpenter, and as far as I remember, used to say he was the only left-handed plasterer in the firm, which meant he got paid a penny an hour extra. The reason being he could work from one end and the other one could work from the right, from the other side and meet in the middle. We just lived a normal life. I started school at Elmhurst in the infants, of course. And in 1939, when war broke out, my mother, my elder brother and my younger brother, who was then a babe in arms, were evacuated for the first time. Dad remained in Upton Park because his family, that was my grandma, and his brothers and his sisters all lived within, what, if memory serves right, within about 2 miles of each other. And so they were always in constant contact. We went, I don't know where, but it was somewhere south, supposedly safe as evacuees. That was my mother, Jack, Peter and me. And we were only away for a matter of weeks because of the funny war. And then late September 39 or early October 39, we all went back because nothing happened. And we went back to school, and we just kept on going until June 1940, where under Plan 4 of the general evacuation scheme, Jack and I were evacuated for the second time, this time just him and me, and we ended up in South Wales, which is where if you like, our war began. After that, my mother and younger brother came down a year later, in 41. Dad followed early 42 because he'd been called to the colours and he'd volunteered for the RAF air crew. And he stayed with us for a few months and then off he went to the service, did his training in the UK, went to South Africa for his aircrew training, didn't make it as a pilot but made it as an observer bomb aimer, and came back late 42, joined his squadron just after Christmas 42, and that was the last time I saw him. He was then killed in action 1943 July. That was basically my childhood. My childhood then stopped because I had to grow up.
Yes. You've done a lot of research into your late father's crash, haven't you?
Yes. My late wife, Maureen, started me on this because I joined the Air Force and served for 22 years. And on my first overseas posting, we went to JHQ Rheindahlen in Germany. And I'd always been, I suppose, interested in what happened to my dad. And my late wife, she unbeknownst to me, wrote a letter to Air Ministry, as it was then, asking for information. And that started the ball rolling, which stopped rolling 40 years later, when I eventually completed the full history of what happened to my dad and his crew, and also another seven air crew that crashed the same night in Switzerland in 1943. And then I just went on from there, and my dad and his crew rest in St. Martin's Cemetery, Vevey, in Switzerland, along with, in total, there are 48 Bomber Command. And I ended up researching them all. And it took me over 40, 45 years, which was great fun and well worth doing. We solved it with the help of some very lovely people in Switzerland, namely one Pascal Blanchard, who still lives there and I'm still in contact with, and hope, God willing, to visit in September this year. It's my son-in-law and my youngest daughter are taking me back to Switzerland to visit my dad's grave, and it should be a good meet up there. But we did research it. They were on the Turin raid night 12th, 13th July, and my dad was and his crew were on their fourth op, and they overflew Switzerland along with another 100 aircraft. Shouldn't have done, but they did, and were hit by Swiss flak, and eventually crashed into the Alps in a place called just above Bouveret, or Bouveret, the other side of Lake Geneva, on the French, on the Italian, French-Italian side, and they crashed into the Alp. And unfortunately, they were carrying a 4,000 pounder, which went bang, and all seven died. And they all were identified, all brought down, and laid to rest with full military honours in Vevey. From there, with the help of Pascal and some other great people in Switzerland, over the years, we managed to, in a sense, solve exactly what happened. I've had the great fortune of meeting eyewitnesses who remember the night as if it was yesterday. And the outcome was that Pascal and I co-wrote a book, we've never published it, saying that at least we knew where one aircraft ended up. And I've been, again, very lucky, because over the years I've been able to help other families of my dad's crew and the Australian crew from 467 Squadron and other members of families of other air crew resting alongside and with my dad, and been able to solve the problems of their loved ones, which has always been a great delight and a great honour to do. Because what I found in my research was that a lot of the folk that I dealt with and helped, all they knew was that their loved one had been killed in action and buried in Switzerland, and didn't seem to be able to find very much more. And so I ended up with six squadrons, worked with six squadron associations, and helped fill in, you know, to fill in the slots of their own histories of what happened to their lads. And their graves are still tended in Switzerland, in Vevey, every 11th of November, regardless. And there is a big parade there attended by dignitaries, the ambassador, the Australian, and all the other dignitaries turn up and wreath the laid. And a wreath for my dad's squadron, which was 207 Squadron, is laid by a very dear friend of mine who is the vice chair, or the vice president of RAFA, and also the president of RAFA Switzerland. He lays the wreath every November 11th, and which is something that's very personal to me and my dad's crew, we know them, that we always refer to them as our crew, he lays on our behalf a poppy on seven graves, which I think is nice.
Thank you, Jim.
Pleasure.